It's mostly a story about how young people who are given so very much, talented young people who are given so much, how they take advantage and how it's almost impossible for them not to. So baseball was just a window onto that, and it worked out very well for me. But I wasn't attacking baseball in particular.
I'm going to jump to one of the things that was asked of you a couple weeks ago. I heard your interview with John Idstein during Morning Edition. You discussed how ballplayers who had to really scratch and claw their way to the big leagues appreciate the game a lot more. Could you talk about that a little bit?
I think that's true. I think that's true with all the athletes. I think that the ones that we call the naturals, it all comes so very easy to them, really don't appreciate how lucky they are. And I don't think they appreciate how hard other people have to work. And so I think probably the sense of entitlement is even more acute with them.
Let's talk specifically about Howie. I imagine you've known a lot of Howie travelers and one-time players who had to accept the fact that they weren't going to make that big career jump until they got into management.
Well, they are the types, the Howie types, who are more appreciative and probably are more the soul of the game that they're in, because they stay in it not because they're talented, but because they just love it so. They can't give them up. If anything, they're more frustrated than the guys who are so good at it, where it just comes so easily to them. And people like Howie are really adorable. They really are. I've always loved characters like that, even though they may be profane and vulgar and have an awful lot of limitations to them. They really mean so much to the game, the fabric of the game, these characters. And that's what I wanted Howie to be. Howie is as much more representative of the game than is Jay Alcazar, the great superstar. He's just skating through. Howie is immersed in baseball.
Did it come as a mere coincidence that you wrote this at a time, obviously baseball's been tainted by allegations of steroid use, but we also have off-the-field incidents. We have these Michael Vick dogfighting allegations, this NBA referee who's accused of gambling, that there are so many check marks placed on a few sports right now that this book happened to come out at the same time.
I think this is a particularly dark period of time, and I couldn't have figured out when to bring the book out that all these things would be happening. But the truth of the matter is, I don't think that there's a period you're going to go through nowadays in which some bad things aren't going to be happening in some sports. I think right now, though, it's just particularly the accent is on the negative more than it's ever been before. But we'll survive. Next week or the week after, we'll be back to more celebrating sports than being disappointed by them.
This book talks a lot about family and the hardship that Howie Traveler's career and the impact it had on wife and kids. I would think that would be one of the first things you would learn from when you first meet athletes, is talking about how much they are away from their families.
They are. And some of them use as an advantage. They almost adopt an entirely kind of different life on the road. They're tomcats. There's no question that that's true. But I also write about the family of Jay Alcazar, and it's a story of father and son and mother and son. So I think I've probably touched all elements or an awful lot of elements with regard to family in this book. And, of course, it's a cliche, but the team itself is sometimes becomes a sort of family for these guys. It becomes, in some respects, for some of them, more of a family than the one that they have away from the ballpark.
Yeah, let's talk about Jay Alcazar's situation. I mean, I'm sure you've learned similar stories from players from the Dominican Republic or perhaps Japan that went through something like this in order to achieve success in one of the major sports.
Yeah, I made Jay a Cuban-American because Cuba is such a fascinating country and because I've been there a couple of times before. And it gave me a chance to delve into a much more complicated and interesting family situation. An awful lot of these guys nowadays in lots of sports are playing in countries which they didn't grow up in. It's sports is part of the global economy, if you will, these days. And Jay is an American. He's raised in America and he's playing baseball in America, but his roots go back into Cuba, and that really made this more of a full novel as opposed to a novelette.
You also described a little in detail, particularly one of these fictional sports journalists, and talk a little bit about the press conference. And is there some of yourself in one of these characters?
Yeah, there's an old newspaper man named Mickey Huey, and he's cynical, jaded, and I would think that there's probably part of my dark side that's in Mickey. I've seen an awful lot of old sports writers who do get to really almost dislike what they're doing. They've been at it for so long, and as they get older, they get further and further in age away from the guys that they're covering. It becomes more and more difficult. I never wanted that to happen to me. I never wanted to be sitting in a press box at an old age complaining what I was going through. So Mickey is very much of a creation of guys that I've known in the past with a little of me sprinkled in there. He's also, though, in an odd way, he's kind of a sentimentalist, and Jay likes him for that. Jay likes him for being honest and for being sentimental and not just being a wise guy, newspaper man.
Your writing can get be pretty diverse. I mean, you've got a fiction novel here. You've done some writing about the sport, nonfiction, and I think I was just reading that you have a screenplay, I believe, that's going to be shot soon.
Well, I hope it's going to be shot, and it's called The Sister-in-Law, and it's about a wedding. It has absolutely nothing to do with sports whatsoever. As a matter of fact, the last three or four novels I've written before this one, before the entitled, had nothing to do with sports. It gives me an opportunity to get away from the games. And I think then when I come back to sports, as I have to do every week happily for NPR and for my pieces at HBO, when I come back to sports, I think I come back a little reinvigorated if I can find a way to distance myself from sports every now and then. I'm working on a play right now that has nothing to do with sports.
Also help you maybe look at the world of sports from the perspective of someone who's not a sports fan, or maybe more of a humanistic approach, if that makes sense?
I think so. I think that you can get too involved. Anybody can get too involved in their profession. And you really can't get away from sports because so many people are sports fans. I mean, if you're an insurance salesman, people aren't liable to talk to you about insurance if you sit down at the bar. But you sit down at the bar and people recognize you as someone in sports, you can be sure that that subject's going to come up. People want to talk to me about sports. It's hard to retreat into the real world. And so I think it does serve me best when in my writing I can put a lot of space between me and sports.
This happened in the book, too, where Jay would go up to a bar or Howie, and he didn't want to talk about that day's ball game. He wanted to let the public understand that he's just a normal guy, and that's what he does for a living.
Yeah, I think a lot of athletes are that way. That, like the sports writers, like the sports journalists, like I am, you don't want to always be totally immersed in it. You know, it's sort of like doctors. Doctor goes to a cocktail party, and the first thing people say, you know, I got this on my shoulder here, Doc. You know, and he doesn't want to talk about it. He's not a doctor at that party. And I think athletes are the same way. And particularly, I think they get very cynical about fans who are always playing up to them. And I have one particularly learned pitcher named Ty Baggio, who is very cagey and talks about fans. And Alcazar comes to know that too. And they can be so oily and play up to the players so much. And the players resent that some. They want people to like them, but they don't want people to fawn over them.
I have to confess that I am a diehard Cub fan. And on the back of the book, in addition to accolades from writers, among those quoted is Lou Piniella, manager of the Cubs, saying he loved it and could not put it down. Does that help you feel further justified that this story identifies with the game as well as people that aren't sports fans?
Yeah, I did a piece on Lou right before the season started, right before spring training started for HBO Real Sports. And I had a copy of The Bound Galleys at that time, the book. It was long before the book came out. And with a great deal of trepidation, I gave it to Lou. I said, well, you know, you might like this. And I had no idea whether he would even read it. He certainly had no obligation to. But, you know, the book is about a manager. One of the main characters is a manager. And I was yeah, I want to know what you think about it. And I was absolutely delighted when he said he couldn't put it down. And he also said how authentic it was and how much it reminded him of what he was going through every day. And it seems to have brought him a little bit of luck.
Because of things like steroid allegations and off-the-field incidents and just obscene salaries, particularly in baseball, are sports becoming, major sports becoming less and less pure? Is there a world there that there's always going to be now this sort of dark underside to major sports?
I think there's always been that underside to sports. I think that we have a tendency to look back at sports through rose-colored glasses. I mean, the guys who played baseball, let's just keep it to baseball, in the 19th century were vicious. The number of drunks and womanizers who played baseball then probably equals those today. And not only that, they fixed games back then pretty regularly. At least in a way, sports is more pure today because it's harder to manipulate the outcome. I mean, simply because people are, it's under more of a microscope. And the other thing about today is that the players are in so much better shape. Now, that's a function of the fact that they make so much money that in the off season they don't have to take jobs and they can essentially just stay in top shape. So if anything, I think you could make the argument that sports is purer than it's ever been. But having said that, I'm not suggesting for a moment that you walk into a locker room and you're in some kind of church, because you're not.